almost every community voted in favor of an article that voiced opposition to this project as presented by Northeast Utilities. These collective articles are the voice of the people. We, the people, have spoken, and you, sirs and ma'am, should listen.
The independent operator of the New England grid has not requested this additional power for reasons of need, of reliability, or to relieve congestion.
Okay, so continuing our discussion of the Northern Pass proposal for the last few days that we've been focusing intently on it. We'll have some more intense focus on it today. Don't forget, too, that there is the Forest Society's effort to raise $2.5 million by the end of this month to buy some conservation easements on some key properties that stand in the way of Northern Pass. And I got to tell you this, just in the last few days since the Northern Pass people said in their conference call with analysts last week that they had 99% of the route sewn up, which they don't. I'll tell you what, the Forest Society has gotten hundreds of thousands of dollars in additional donations to the Trees Not Towers campaign. And I'll be telling you more about that Trees Not Towers campaign specifically right about now with Donna Jordan. She is of the Colebrook Chronicle, and she wrote a story that appeared in Friday's edition that I've linked to on my website at briantilton.com, but you can also read it. Thankfully, the newspaper is free at colebrookchronicle.com. And you can read her piece about two of the landowners that have said, no, I will not sell to Northern Pass for any dollar amount. And Donna, it's a pleasure to welcome you back to Bulldog Live. Good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you today?
Good. Did all that snow disappear up there?
It did. Fortunately, the last four mornings waking up to snow and it was melted by 10 a.m.
Just a little taste of what's to come.
Yes, indeed. The furnace has already gone on a few times, and that's not pretty.
Go chop some more wood instead.
That's right.
Wow, what a very good piece that you have written, which gives us a lot of insight into two of the landowners that have said, no, I'm not going to sell the Northern Pass.
My gosh, they said a lot, didn't they? Just two landowners. But, you know, we're talking about thousands of acres of land that have not sold, and these two alone have over 1,000 acres. So I think if you want to weigh the hundreds of acres that have been sold compared to the thousands of acres that have not, I think it kind of gives you a different perspective.
Sure. Well, you visited the McAllister Farm in Stewartstown, which is one of the properties that the Forest Society is looking to buy the conservation easement on. And Rod McAllister had gotten a proposal before by Northern Pass to buy his land. And even after signing a purchase and sales agreement with the Forest Society for a conservation easement, tell us what happened.
Well, apparently a family friend, longtime family friend, had come to Rod, and her boyfriend worked for a Northern Pass employee in Franklin, and the Northern Pass employee is the brother of another Northern Pass employee from this area. And so somehow one connected with the next, and they basically asked her to let Rod know that if he would be willing to sell his land, he would be $4 million richer. And those are the words they used. And he said, no, thank you, I'm not interested. Can you imagine? $4 million, that's an awful lot of money. That's the highest amount offered yet. And it was Rod's first monetary offer.
Oh, it was his first offer. Okay.
Yes. Well, before that, they had made an offer for a land trade. Here's a man
that
who owns 1,000 or more acres of land, and they wanted to do a land trade with him.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
How about that? Okay. Well, you know, this is funny because what the when the Forest Society first announced their Trees Not Towers campaign a while ago, Northern Pass was saying, well, you know, these parcels really aren't that important to us, so we're not worried about it.
That's correct. That's correct.
And that's, $4 million offer later.
And that's Rod's comment to me, as he said, apparently I'm pretty important to them, even though they said I'm not. So, yeah, I went up some incredible roads, and he's pointing out old barn stone foundations and old homesteads and things like that up in the midst of these thousands of acres of incredible beauty. And he said, this is my land, and it was quite a sweep, but you could see Clarksville, and you could see Beecher Falls, or excuse me, the border with Vermont, just above Beecher Falls, where they want to come on the Pittsburgh side.
Okay.
You could totally see how he was smack dab in the middle of their way.
Holy cow.
You could totally see it, and you could feel it. Pointing here, you know, it's kind of like a U shape, if you will, that they have around him, but they can't get around that U without going through him. Who knows how this would all turn out? There certainly are property owners around him they could attempt to work with, but it would be a couple of dozen property owners. Whether they would want to go through more of that, working with the owners, what to offer them, you know, for a purchase price and that sort of thing is anybody's guess at this point.
Well, now that the other property owners have seen what kind of money has been offered and paid for already for some of these key parcels of land, let me tell you, the price tag would go way, way up, number one, if there was to be any consideration. And number two, Donna, as you point out in highlighting Rod McAllister and Lynn Placey, there's many other people that said they would not be interested in negotiating with Northern Pass.
That's absolutely true. You know, what it comes down to, as I say, is there's just thousands of acres of land out there. I visited with another family in Clarksville just the day before I visited with the McAllisters, and they took me all around God's country into the middle of woods that I didn't know there was a road there. It looked like a bunch of leaves to me. and you know, thank goodness they had the kind of trucks that could take us through there. But I visited property boundaries of what they have purchased and, you know, on these other lands that have not been sold. And there most definitely are a lot of people who are in the way. I don't know if they have some sort of magic formula they're coming up with for this 99% of some portion of this route, but they've got some problems out there, and it'll be interesting for all of us to see how they intend to work this out.
Donna Jordan joining us from the Colebrook Chronicle. You can read her story at ColebrookChronicle.com from this week's newspaper about two landowners in Stewartstown who are saying no to Northern Pass, and one of them, despite a $4 million offer by Northern Pass, even after he signed the purchase and sale agreement with the Forest Society, which tells me one of two things, Donna. Either Northern Pass is very confident that the Forest Society will not raise the money, but then again, we saw all this play out over the Balsams conservation easement too.
That's correct. I think that they have no doubts that they will raise that $2.5 million. I think just by virtue of the donations during this past week, which last I heard it was up to $650,000. I don't know if there's an update today.
I haven't seen anything new yet.
Yeah, and I think it's pushing. They don't actually do a daily update. We hear updates more every few days. So I think there's not going to be a problem with them hitting their million or million and a half mark before week's end or thereabouts, and then they really don't have very far to go after that.
No, that's a good point. In looking at the McAllister property that is that could be acquired for the conservation easement, you did go into a little bit of history about that property, about how it was actually several other properties that are now part of one big property, I believe.
That's right. Rod was telling me that it had been five different farmlands, and his father and his uncle worked over the years to put those five farmlands together, as did his grandfather, and he gave them all of the credit for creating this 1,000-plus-acre property that he now owns. And he wants to leave it to his son, who works with him on the dairy farm, and his son's wife and their two children. And we do have a picture of his son and the two children on the front page with Rod that goes with the article. They're anxious to inherit the property. They're with their father. They're standing with their father. They don't want to see this property broken off and sold for a transmission line. It is, in fact, prime development property. And that's what the Northern Pass certainly is looking to do, is develop this property that they've purchased.
There's a nice snowmobile trail that crosses his property, and chances are a number of our listeners have been across that land.
Yes, I saw that trail. It's absolutely gorgeous up there. These are farmers who, when they clear cut an area for the wood, they absolutely clean it out. There's no tree stumps left. There's absolutely nothing. They clean it out. It looks like a park afterwards. They seed it with grass. They reseed it with new trees. It's just gorgeous. They've shown me the parcels that they've cleared, and it's just beautiful, the kind of work that they do. They don't leave a mess when they work on their property. And oftentimes that is the case. You see some scrub left over. You just see things laying there. But the McAllisters don't do that. They have very high respect for the land.
And that's where a lot of these people that are fighting so hard against Northern Pass, these are people who take care of this land, who are stewards of it, and they want to ensure it for future generations. And that's where Lynn Placey is trying to hold on to her husband's legacy as well.
That's absolutely right. Lynn and her husband first started dating in the early 1960s, and this 78-acre parcel that she is selling the easement to the Forest Society on is the first date that they went on in the early 60s. He took her up to the land. You know, I kind of think he wanted to gauge how she felt about being a landholder. And she said that she absolutely fell in love with the land, and she fell in love with him. And her heart is there, as is her husband's, and she knows he would never want to sell. And it was 3 years ago last week she lost her husband. So now she's, you know, she's battling not only the loss of her husband at a younger age, but trying to hang on to this land that somebody is trying to purchase from her. So she's thankful that the Forest Society has come along to help protect that land. And the Forest Society is there for these four landholders to say, look, let us take the criticism and the pressure, and let us fight the fight for you. And I think that's a big burden for them to take off of their shoulders.
And Donna, you and I were both at a meeting at Colebrook Elementary School with a number of concerned citizens in the community, a couple hundred of them, as a matter of fact, last October. In fact, it was right before we had that big historic October snowstorm.
Mm-hmm.
And Lynn Placey got up there, and she told the story then, much like she told you for Friday's newspaper. And that was, her attachment to the land, materials, things rust and disintegrate. Land, you just can't get that anymore.
Her bottom line is the love of money is the root of all evil. And she said her feeling is that it's the greed that's driving those who are being made these offers, whether it's an offer of $200,000 or $400,000 or $700,000. She feels that that's what's driving them to sell off their land. You know, one parcel of land that was sold, a young girl had built up there because she stood there with Rod McAllister sprinkling her grandfather's ashes. Her grandfather had owned the land, and he was a relative of Rod McAllister's. And Rod's just beside himself because this girl sold and virtually left practically in the middle of the night and was gone, and nobody knew until the next day. Her letter of resignation at her job was on somebody's desk, and she was gone. But she had been saying she would not sell. She wanted to hold out, and then a $2 million offer came in, and she sold. In addition to that, we were at the end of her driveway. We were on a town road, and you could look up the driveway to her home, and there are steel gates there now. And I said, why are there still steel gates? And Rod said that the Northern Pass installed those to block people from going up there. So I thought that was kind of curious.
And I think in the picture in Friday's Colebrook Chronicle, you had a picture of some trees being harvested as well.
That's right. It's a parcel of land that's now been listed at, on the New Hampshire deeds as having been transacted to the Northern Pass. But one of the options they give the property owners is if there's any wood they would like to harvest off the land to get it off by a certain day. And when we were up there last Wednesday, they were absolutely harvesting. There were truckloads of trees going out of there for from that property owners. Yeah, and it was a leased lot. That particular parcel had some four leased lots, and there were two tenants on those leased lots that had been told they had to leave.
Wow, very interesting.
Yeah.
Well, Donna, I want people to visit ColebrookChronicle.com and read this newspaper's above the fold front page to read this compelling story about these two landowners and their attachment for the land. And I appreciate you sharing the story with us and our listeners.
You're very welcome. Anytime. Glad to talk with you.
Okay. You take care. Thank you.
You
very much.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. 1-866-823-1077. Coming up in the program, we will talk more about the U.S. Department of Energy and their conflict of interest with a Northern Pass attorney and a relationship that she had with the Department of Energy at one time, she recommending the independent contractor to do the environmental impact study, who Northern Pass approved, and it appears they did so without any other review. I have more responses from our elected officials as well as Department of Energy to share with you in the second hour as we talk with Christoph Corshane from the Conservation Law Foundation. But I have one politician who's going to be coming in just a minute, John Babillard's Libertarian candidate for governor. We'll ask him about it as the potential conflict of interest and what a governor can do from the bully pulpit. What if anything should be said or not be said and the like. But that's not the main reason of John's visit. He's got some other interesting campaign news to share with you next here on Bulldog Live with me, your host, Bulldog Brian Tilton, at 1-866-823-1077 on the Pulse.